Our scripture passages this morning are from Psalms and John. So I'll be reading first Psalm 118, 1 to 2, and 19 to 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And John 12, 12 to 23. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
This description of how to celebrate the Passover. On the first day of the week, gather the fruit of the majestic trees, the branches of the palm trees, and the boughs of the leafy trees and the willows, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So this is already in some ways taking place on this day, but it was taken to a higher level as Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And according to John, the trigger point for all of this praise is overflowing from the fact that the people heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And I think in the Gospel of John, there's 7 signs. There's a certain number of signs that John reveals about showing that Jesus is the Messiah, and the high point of that is raising Lazarus from the dead. And so there's this great intrigue and wondering, if is this in fact the Messiah who has come to deliver us? And so who Jesus is here in this story is the one who acknowledges his rightful position or his rightful identity. The one who's coming in great royal authority, blessed is the King of Israel, the one who is coming to save the people, and way beyond what these people are expecting him to be as a royal king and a savior. And even as Psalm 118 points out, there's a lot of Psalm 18 really describes what's going on this day. The Lord has done mighty things. The Lord saves us. Lord, save us. The stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. You know, Jesus is stepping into that identity, taking on, freely displaying and not quieting the people, that he is the cornerstone of everything that God is doing to save this world. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine on us with boughs in hand, joining the festal procession up to the horn of the altar. So you can really see that being fulfilled here. So this is Jesus as he presents himself, accepting the mantle of being the very cornerstone of God's intentions for this world, coming with all authority and coming as the Savior. And not just for his people, but if you noticed, as John goes on to describe the scene, even Greeks or Gentiles, people from a distance, are coming to inquire about this Jesus. They're being drawn to Jesus. And as the story unfolds, obviously this good news will go out to all people everywhere throughout the world. And then how are people described here? Who are people in this story? The response of the characters in the story is that they're praising God for his delivering and saving victory. They're swept up in praise and joy and thanksgiving and worship in anticipation of what's apparently going to happen. And it's even more apparent in Mark that the people had this active kind of response. In Mark, it talks about how the people spread their cloaks on the ground before him. They went out in the fields and they cut down palm branches to bring back, to wave. Just this very active response to Jesus in their midst. I was sharing this scripture with some men at Potter's House Ministry there in Brownstown on Thursday. And one resident there said from his church tradition, what they always said was, as the palm branches and as the cloaks were spread out, that it was protecting Jesus' feet, keeping Jesus' feet to be a worthy offering or sacrifice later in the week, just in a symbolic kind of way. But this real active kind of response to Jesus, not just honoring with their lips, but more actively responding with their lives. So that's important as we'll start to think about humble servanthood in a bit. So the initial response is worship, joining Jesus, again, as Psalm 118 says, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. So just this image of the people following Jesus into the gates of righteousness and relationship with the living God. But again, not just following, as amazing as that is to follow into the place of being cleansed and forgiven and being claimed as a child of God, but also following Jesus in the footsteps of being a servant. And that's the second part of how Jesus presents himself, not just willing to accept and kind of make this declaration that he's the cornerstone, he's the Savior, he's the one who comes in authority, the authority of God, but also that he comes as a humble servant. And we honor him, not just again with our lips, but following him in the footsteps of servanthood and humility. And so that's the reason for this stool. Jesus could have entered, like all other kings, on a mighty steed, towering above everybody. But if you can picture him on this lowly donkey, much more at the eye level of the people, you know, really symbolizing who he was. I think there's something significant in the fact that he was seated on this donkey. To be seated is to have accomplished your task, your mission and to rest in that. Like Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And again, this foreshadowing of Jesus, the Savior, being seated after accomplishing all that he would accomplish, in this week to come. So as we honor Jesus by following in his footsteps in an active way, we think of the words of Paul to the Philippians, like, have the same mind as Christ did. That even though, he had all heavenly glory, he didn't consider that glory as something to hold on to, but rather he emptied of himself of all his own prerogatives, humbled himself, took on the form of a man, came and dwelt among us, as a servant, and was obedient to the Father, even to death on a cross. So not only are we swept up in praise and thanksgiving and joy, but we're swept up into this grace and humility that we begin to take that on for ourselves, in honor of the one who gave it all for me. So again, we honor Jesus by following in his footsteps of servanthood. So in a couple minutes, the team that went to Echo Global Farms is going to share. But just to give a couple thoughts ahead of time. One thing I learned going down there to the farm is that, as this is a sign along one of their walkways, but just how, in this world, a lot of the soil is depleted, it's eroded, it lacks nutrients. In South America, Asia, and Africa, farms are losing soil at 2 times the rate that is sustainable for crop production. And after wind and water erosion, the remaining soil typically has only 1/3 the nutrients of the eroded topsoil. And so this is what this particular ministry is responding to. And in a spiritual way, as God looks upon his creation, this is what he responded to, seeing the depletion, the erosion of lives, of souls, of relationships, let alone the land. And his serving, loving response was to send the Savior into this world, to forgive, to heal, to pour nutrients into our lives, to be living water, to be the bread of life, you know. And he sent us out to do the same in every way. And so Echo Global Farms, just looking over their mission statements and so forth, they're committed in the name of Jesus and by his love to heal and restore, to restore people's lives in the midst of hunger and in the inability to make soil grow. They want to lend a hand and resources and so forth to help bring healing and renewal of the soil, and in seeing the love of Jesus, maybe even bringing even deeper personal healing and spiritual healing in that. So the team that went down took on the form of a servant, had the same attitude of Christ, hopefully, saying, here we are, we're here to support you. This isn't about us. We're not on center stage. We're here to do whatever you need to do to accomplish your purpose. Like John the Baptist, I must become less and less. Jesus, you must become more and more. That's the heart of a servant. And it can be costly. Like, I have to admit that Florida heat was draining when you're out there doing a lot of manual work. Just a reminder that we can be idealistic about being a servant, but it's just costly, and we have to give of ourselves and sacrifice in order to be a servant. You know, ask Jesus about that. And just in the name of Jesus, that in the end, he may be all in all, anticipating that day when one day every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, and the kingdom of God that renews all things, people and soil, is coming.